Yesterday was Christmas Day, of course. Merry Christmas to everybody. A joyful feast day, one of the most joyful days of the whole year. Joyful because of the birth of the Messiah. Joyful because, as the angel said to the shepherds, I bring you news of great joy. So yesterday was undoubtedly one of the joyful, most joyful feasts of the whole year. And naturally, we continue that spirit of joy, even in the culture. Although I think here it's a work day, it's not a holiday today. In some countries, and in English Commonwealth countries, it's a holiday, Boxing Day, huh? don't know whether it's a holiday or not. Is it a holiday today? Is the office open today? No. Anyway, so are the banks open today? The banks are open. Okay, well, there you go. If the bank is open, then it's not a holiday. Anyway, the point is, culturally and also spiritually, we want to continue the joy, of course. It's too much to contain within just one day. The church, in fact, celebrates Christmas for one octave, right? The octave of Christmas. First day was yesterday, today's the second day. Extends right up until January 1st, eighth day. Right. And that joy is the joy that comes not only with receiving the gift of God, the gift of God's own Son, but also with giving, participating in the what's known as the law of the gift. If for Christmas you didn't give anybody anything, if you didn't do anything for anybody, you did not have a joyful Christmas. I can guarantee it. Maybe you got what you wanted, maybe you liked the food, but if you didn't do anything for anyone else, if you were entirely focused on yourself, you did not really have a joyful Christmas. Because the greater joy, by far the greater joy, comes from giving. This is both good spirituality and also basic psychology. If you want to be happy, that's the expression. If you want to be happy, make other people happy. So that's what we're doing. We are rejoicing and we are sharing in the joy. The joy of our redemption, of our salvation. At the same time, we're observing the memorial or the feast of the first martyr in the church, St. Stephen, which seems at first like it's not an occasion of joy. It seems like the opposite of joy. Death is the enemy of joy. That's how it strikes us at first. I don't remember how it is that St. Stephen's feast day ended up on the day after Christmas. I think there's some historical basis for that. But the church has for a very, very long time put these two feasts together, Christmas and St. Stephen. St. Stephen, the first feast day after Christmas. St. Stephen, the first witness, the first martyr, the proto-martyr. People like to point out that the Greek word, well, the word martyr, English word martyr, comes from the Greek word for witness, and the Greek name Stephen or Stephanos means in English crown. So Stephen, the first martyr, is something like saying the crown of the first witness, celebration of the first witness of Jesus Christ. So we focus for a moment on the journey of St. Stephen, first martyr. He was a disciple. Well, we don't know if he ever met Jesus, but he was one of the first Christians and one of the first of the seven. Usually we call them the seven deacons, were set aside to help take care of the distribution of the food to the widows. But he was more prominent as an evangelist, a preacher. He was very effective at proclaiming the gospel, so effective that enemies of the gospel took Stephen as their personal enemy. And Acts of the Apostles, the book of the Acts of the Apostles, has a very long section on Stephen. his choice, his ministry, and finally his martyrdom. Well, not only finally his martyrdom, the effect of his martyrdom, because we know Stephen's martyrdom led directly in the spiritual connection to the conversion of Saul, who becomes the great apostle Paul. If we look at the death of Stephen, if we look only at the death of Stephen, we won't be able to see the whole picture, because the death of Stephen is a brutal stoning, a grave injustice, the sort of thing that should never happen, and when it happens, we protest and we grieve. So if we just look at that, we will say, this is not something to celebrate. There's plenty of things like this that we see, and we say, this is not something to celebrate. Very prominently, the persecution of Christians all over the world. The persecution of people because of their Christian faith. That should not happen. It's a cause of grief for us. It's something we should oppose. But it does happen. Jesus said it would happen, and he also said that we shouldn't even worry about it happening. Yes, it will happen. This is today's gospel. Beware, this is going to happen. You're going to experience persecution, even within families, even among people you would expect to be the most dedicated to taking care of you, they will betray you. But don't worry about what to say, and don't worry about how it happened, because whoever perseveres to the end will be saved. And if you have to speak, it will be the Holy Spirit speaking through you. So Jesus tells us that this sort of event is not as bad as it looks. I mean, it's as bad as it gets from the human perspective. But from the perspective of faith, it's not as bad as it looks. And because it's part of the bigger picture. That's why I started out by saying Christmas is a feast of joy, and the greater joy is the joy of giving. Participation in the law of the gift. Participation in the cycle of the gift. Because if we look only at the death, we think that's pure loss. But if we can see it in the context of this cycle of giving, we realize, no, actually, it's a way of participating in the law of the gift. Stephen saw it that way. He didn't like being persecuted. He didn't like being stoned, of course. But you don't hear him complaining, even while he's still alive. He's talking about seeing the glory of God. He's talking about seeing Jesus. He's praying for his persecutors. He's commending his spirit to the Lord. That was the psalm, "Into your hands I commend my spirit." He's giving himself. He's not focused on defending himself or protecting himself. He's giving himself. And so that makes it possible for him to rejoice. It's Christmas joy translated into a higher key. It's joy that comes not from receiving presents and seeing beautiful decorations and singing beautiful music. It's the joy that comes with giving as we have been given. So it's clear that the liturgy wants us to understand that this is the greater joy and the deeper meaning of Christmas. Christmas has lots of sentimental elements to it which give us a kind of sweetness, like candy, you know, or like sweet foods. It's very nice to eat cake, but you can't survive on cake. You have to have something more nutritious, and that's what the Feast of St. Stephen gives us. So we celebrate St. Stephen. We celebrate his love of God, absolute love of God, but also his love of neighbor. Every year I pick this out. We skip the verse. It doesn't add the verse where it says, "Do not hold this sin against them." That's what Stephen said as he was being martyred. It's not in this liturgical reading, but it's in the Acts of the Apostles. "Do not hold this sin against them." He's praying for his persecutors. He loves them too, as he loves God. So he's a great witness of Christian love, a great witness of this joy of giving. And now he rejoices in heaven. He even rejoices that Saul is with him in heaven. The very one who participated in his stoning is now also a saint, Saint Paul. the apostle. And they are both rejoicing. So this is the joy that we're being invited to participate in. It's great joy. It's a great feast. It's a great reminder to us of the deeper meaning of Christmas, and this is what we celebrate throughout this octave. In fact, this gives us a good picture of the essence of Christianity, of Christian faith. It's not simply joy because we like being with our friends and eating good food. It's the cross and the resurrection. That's Christianity. The cross and the resurrection. It's not only the resurrection, and it's not only the cross. It's both. And St. Stephen experiences both, and he shares his joy with us.